Hey everybody. Yes. Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by the great Chris Schaefer. Chris, how you doing today?
Welcome to the only and the first and only AMSR Google Ads podcast where we whisper the secrets of PPC into your ear.
Chris, I want to start off this week. For everyone listening, we're going to be talking about manual bids, automated bids, where that's at in 2020. But Chris, I just have to read this review. It's from Brad from the number one country now and always and forever, the United States of America. 5 stars. Excellent Google Ads information. A must listen for Google Ads professionals. So if you're new to the show and you just heard that intro and you're still here, just know that you're at a must-listen podcast for Google Ads professionals. You may not understand why
yet. It gets better. It gets better from here. But it's
coming. It gets better as the minutes go on.
Yeah. Don't skip.
I've been a Google Ads consultant for the last 5 years, and I have to thank Chris and Jason for helping me level up my skills over the last few years. As someone who works by myself, I consider these guys to be my unofficial coworkers. Their perspectives and opinions help me to consider alternative optimization options for my client accounts. At the end of the day, the Paid Search Podcast is my go-to resource for anything Google Ads. Start listening, join their Patreon, and share an episode or two with your friends and colleagues. Brad, thank you for that great 5-star review. I love the sharing. Please do share the show. And yes, we are your number one resource for all things Google Ads. We are at the center of all things Google Ads. And Chris, lately, I have even been updating the PSP news, paidsearchpodcast.com/news. Anything relevant to Google Ads super users like ourselves and our audience, I put a link in there to keep them updated. Just recently, the COVID credits, we talked about that on Patreon last week. Credits are hitting account for hundreds of dollars in free ad spend. Google's helping out small and medium-sized businesses. Have a link to information about that, a link to information about remarketing your callers, and then also a link to information about how the targeting options for housing, employment, and credit ads are going to be changing soon. And so that's something to be aware of. So check out the paidsearchpodcast.com/news. So Chris, we have a fun episode today.
Yeah.
Your favorite. Just so everyone knows, these are Chris's favorite.
Everyone.
He just loves me and he just wants to be like, hey, Jason, I just want to talk to you man to man, face to face. I just want to talk. I just want to talk a little Google Ads strategy. And that's what we're going to be doing today about bidding.
Jason, before I tell our listeners about an amazing tool that can save them tons of time, I want to ask, Brad brought up something and I just have to know. In his review, he mentioned that we're his unofficial coworkers. I'll tell you what kind of coworker I was, and I want you to think about it. I know you worked in an office at some point before you became wildly successful working out of your prison cell. But what kind of coworker were you when you did work? So I'll tell you what the kind of coworker I was. I was the guy that bought extremely expensive wireless headphones that engulfed my head and listened to music and did the most I could to limit interaction and speak as little as possible to anyone and just kept my head down and waited for them to let me out for the day so I could go back home. That's the kind of cool.
How did that job end up?
Yeah, it didn't work well. The first one I...
Were you promoted?
No, I was fired.
Okay.
See, I didn't work well, but that, you know, that's essentially what I am now. Even though there's no one else here with me in my home as I work, I'm still the guy that just has music blaring and I'm like, don't talk to me. Don't look at me. I want to be alone. What about you?
Well, coworker.
Were you the friendly chatty?
I was probably
the chatty friendly guy.
I was a little more friendly and chatty than I am now these days.
Okay.
And, at the time, Chris, I was the ego was not as inflated as it is. So
no.
I talked to the other humans and I cared about their personal lives and we played darts and all that kind of stuff. So
I love the contrast. He's not saying it, but by implying that that's what he was like, he's implying that now I don't care about your lives. I am an amazing man who lives inside of a castle with a moat around it, and that's where I stand now. So I
it just is what it is. Yeah. I mean, Chris, my ego is so out of control.
That's true.
It just is what it is, that I've just accepted it. So
all right, well,
try to use it to my advantage, but it is a situation.
All right, well, as I alluded to, I have some great news for you guys. There is a tool out there that many of our listeners use every single day. Agencies out there, it's a bunch of agency listeners out there. Individuals like Brad who work on their own and have clients, a lot of you guys out there. And if you want a tool that can get things done faster in Google Ads, open up a new tab. You got room for one more in your browser. Open up one more and go to opteo.com/psp2. This tool is a great way to get things done faster in Google Ads. There's a lot of tools out there that cover a lot of other, you know, things. You know, they do a lot of things with, you know, we can help you get more followers. You know, we can help you get more retweets. No, this tool is designed for guys like us. There's a reason why these guys are a advertiser with us. Why they sponsor the show is because they do exactly what we do, and they help people get things done faster in Google Ads. So the special thing is, the reason you want to go to opteo.com/psp2 is because you want to get the 8-week free trial, 2 months, 2 reporting sessions to be able to try this tool out so that you can use all the great features and watch your campaigns improve and watch your time decrease that you use managing things. So try it out for an 8-week free trial. Use a little chat box down at the bottom and say, hey, I'd like an 8-week free trial that I heard about on the Paid Search Podcast, and they'll hand it over and you will love this tool. Very affordable. Not one of those super expensive do-it-all kind of things where it's overpriced, but very affordable. You'll like it. opteo.com/psp2.
Thanks, Chris. So this episode, I want to thank Alessandra from Milan, Italy.
Yes.
So we read one of Alessandra's questions last week on our Q&A episode. Please send us your questions, paidsearchpodcast.com on the contact page. Every few weeks, we do a Q&A where we answer your questions. And we read one of Alessandra's questions last week, and then she had another great question, and we were like, you know what, we're just going to do a full episode about this. So her question was, I recently came across this article which is strongly against manual bidding with all recent loosening of match types. So what is your take on this? Would love to hear your opinion. So I think what she was saying, she read an article that was talking about with the close variants and the match types basically being loosened up, the article was promoting different forms of automated bidding because of variants and because we don't have as much control on what our match types mean these days. And then, of course, at least I am known as the manual bidding person. Mm-hmm. I think Chris is getting weak in the knees on that. We'll talk. We'll get an update from him. But yeah, so basically we wanted to address her question and then also just use that as an introduction to kind of a 2020, oh my gosh, I said the curse words there, 2020 update on bidding in terms of manual bidding, automated bidding options, and then what each of us are kind of doing day to day with Google Ads. So Chris, if you want to address the close variance means you need to do automated bidding idea there that Alessandra was talking about, and then we can get into the different types of bidding.
Yeah, so first I feel like we need to address what close variants mean, because if you haven't been
in Google, means you're going to get more business from more people searching for exactly what you offer. And if you have a problem with that, shut your dirty mouth, because you know what? There's a lot of people that complain about close variants, but at the end of the day, all you have to do is raise your little Cheeto-infested fingers, add a couple more negative keywords, take care of the problem there, and then you get access to a lot more traffic of people looking for what you offer. So if you have a problem with that, come see me, put your face out, I'll slap it, we'll get you thinking straight again, and then we don't have to talk about close variants anymore.
All right, well,
or if you want to keep crying and complaining, go ahead. I guess that's your other option.
Well, that's the FIRE definition. Let me give you a little more practical definition about what it is exactly. So you won't ever see the word close variance when you're creating a keyword. It's not a match type. It's not a, you know, a setting. You're not going to be able to turn it on and off, which old school listeners, you know, people who have been in the PPC world for a while know there was a day back in the day.
Are you serious?
You could turn that off. Yes, you could turn off close.
Are you just making up stories?
I'm absolutely serious.
It was so long ago that I don't even know.
Are you serious? There was a checkbox in the settings where you could say, do not allow close variants on this account. It was glorious days.
You just must be so beaten down to a nub right now with your experience on paid search. Like, you used to have all these options and then just
nothing.
Whittle it away by little. Yep. they start beating you down.
Nope. You don't need this anymore.
Turn those off.
You don't need this anymore. Yeah. Oh, what's that average position? Let's just take that off. You don't need that anymore. Yeah. There was a day when you could turn it on and off, and now it's not an option. It's, everyone gets close variance. So let me explain what it means. So if you have the word, and I think one of the best examples is a real life example I had where I was just blown away.
But Chris, first give the idea of close variance. Don't give the worst possible
Okay,
outcome. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Don't flavor it in that negative regard. That's true.
Thank you. So if you have a keyword that is CPA near me, okay, and it's an exact match keyword, let's go with the lowest form of precision, right? The most precise of the Google Ads universe is an exact match keyword. You have CPA near me. Okay. Let's say someone does a search for CPA that is near me. If you did not have close variance, you would not be able to show up for that because your keyword is CPA near me. But they type phrase CPA match. That is near
or exact match.
I'm talking about exact match.
Yeah.
Or phrase match. Oh yeah, it could be phrase match. Exactly. It could be either one. The close variance means that you could show up for that.
Google thought that person had the exact same intent as your keyword, so they allowed you to show up.
It's all based on intent. It's a good thing, right? But
thank you.
We don't get on this podcast to talk about how everything that Google decides and every option is a wonderful and awesome choice and you should just do what every recommended thing on Google is. That's not the case. We debate, we discuss, and sometimes
is. Just so everyone out there knows, I am open to that paidsearchpodcast.com contact page.
We can work something. We have a price. We will say that for the right price. No, we won't. But the
no, we won't.
So it's great because it's based on intent and Google knows that the person may have done five searches and they're really looking for a CPA. They know that there's some intent behind it. There's additional information that we do not have access to that Google can use to determine, okay, this intent is very close and they'll show it up on. The other side of things, and this really happened to me, is I have exact match CPA near me and then I get on that a search for just the word CPA by itself, you know, that's not what I want. I absolutely do not want to show up on CPA because if you've ever run a Google Ads campaign where you're targeting a very popular term, when you look at your search terms and sort by impressions, the less number of words in that search means there will be a significant number of impressions. So you'll be dominated by searches that are just one word, CPA, and, you know, shoes and HVAC and car, stuff like that. These are things that are just going to be overrun if you don't control them. So that's the negative side of it. That's what the close variant means. And you'll only see it when you look at the search terms view. It's in the search terms view.
And Chris, that's kind of like it's a rite of introduction or whatever you want to call it to our Patreon group on Facebook. New members, they join the Patreon group and then on Facebook. And of course, what do they have to do? They show us a screenshot of their search terms. Why am I showing up for these searches when these are my keywords? So to your point, Chris, it does happen a lot. That is the side of things that people don't like about it because they want control, which is fine, over their search terms. So the point of Alessandra's question is, now that we are having kind of less control over exactly what we show up on, and an exact match keyword can actually mean different search terms that come in and all that kind of stuff, same with phrase, and of course with broad match modified, Does that mean you can't do manual bidding anymore? Does that mean you got to do automated? After we talk about that, let's talk about kind of where we are currently, what our go-to is. But when you think, hey, I'm on an account, what kind of bidding should I do, manual or automated? Does close variance ever play a role in that decision?
Man, that is a...
Let me phrase it to you that way.
That is a really good question, because that gets to the heart of it, doesn't it? Does close... The fact that close variant exists, does that change my preference on manual versus automated?
And maybe it will going forward based on her question in that article.
Phrasing it that way, absolutely not. It does not make a difference, because I still make my decisions based on small, finite control and data that I see in the search terms, in bounce rate, in responsiveness of ad copy, everything, all the signals that I have about how people are reacting to my keywords in my ad copy and my landing page, I use that to signal what I want and what I don't want. And so if I'm getting certain search terms on a certain keyword that I didn't intend, then I'll make that action based on small points of data that reoccur and continue to point me in a certain direction for value. So yeah, it's a great way to phrase it. No, I wouldn't.
So Chris, I'm going to go more into this on Patreon, because it is some advanced stuff the way I use it. But let me just put it this way for our purposes here. I think I had adjusted to close variance with manual bidding without even knowing what I was adjusting to it because of that, or that played a role. A few months ago, we talked on here. I said some jokes, some people laughed, and then we got the gold Google Ads advice from you, and you laid another golden egg about ad group bidding.
Oh.
And you were like, hey, Jason, you always talk about keyword level bids, manual bidding at the keyword level. Because we're always bashing single keyword ad groups. And the people that do them,
yeah.
Just so that's clear.
Right.
And it's not just what they do. It's the person behind it.
We don't like you specifically.
Who we insult. Yes. It's a package deal. So, Chris, we were talking about single keyword ad groups, and then we were talking about how we don't like those. And then we come up with, by the way, not take someone down and strangle them and punch them until they're unconscious and then keep punching them just to send a message to other people. I'm not going to do that. Okay. But I'm pretty sure someone on our Patreon group came up with the term, or they shared the term, stag, single theme ad group or something like that.
Yes.
And it's like, yes, that's what I do. I make theme ad groups. But if that's what that stands for, I will never... Dude. Ever use an acronym to describe themed ad groups. I'm going to say themed ad groups, and if you ever want me to say
stagger,
it's the last time, so enjoy it, everybody. Turn up your volume and play it real slow right now. Play it on half speed, because this is the last time I'm ever going to give you this pleasure. I'm never going to say stag or stags again. Okay. The kind of person that would come up with single keyword ad groups and then call them skags and then sell those to clients, that's the same group that's calling themed ad groups stags. So, I said it again. Well, you got a little bonus there. I'm never going to call it that, okay? It's called themed ad groups, and we're not using acronyms, and we're not trying to sell it. We're just trying to do good Google Ads work. So, we're heavy on themed ad groups, and that's the way we're both managing accounts these days and building them. And you're like, you should try out ad group bidding. It just makes more sense if every keyword in your ad group is for that theme. It means the same thing. It's just different keywords, but it has the same intent. So guess what I started doing, Chris? I tried that out. It was awesome. Now I bid at the ad group level.
Oh, yeah.
Because I bid on themes, because I bid on ad groups, because employment lawyer means the same exact thing as employment attorney.
Mm-hmm.
They have different data. Well, you know what? You're misjudging the statistical significance of that data because you're a human being. Don't tell me those have different conversion rates. It's the same damn search.
Yeah.
So because I'm looking at my keywords as close variants, the fact that keywords have their own close variants doesn't affect my manual bidding, because I've already moved to the ad group level. So doesn't affect my manual bidding because I'm at the ad group level. The only thing it affects is the amount of search terms work you need to do, and you get new search term ideas you got to add as keywords, and then you also get quite a bit more not quite a bit more, but some more search terms that you need to add as negatives that you would not expect you would need to add, but you just need to review your search terms. So that's the way close variance has impacted me. It's not a bidding thing because I've already moved to ad groups.
Yeah. So are we moving on now to...
Yeah, now let's move on to what are you doing these days? We're known as the manual bidding guys. What are you doing these days? Are you manual? Are you automated? Give me a breakdown here. What's the percentages? What do you always start out with?
Yeah.
Have you moved more into the automated space?
So the rule that I have established internally with me and myself and I, which comprises my entire company, is we start with manual. I start with manual, period. I always start a campaign
still,
with manual.
Still, always.
Always. Always. Start. Now,
but how do you know what to bid? How do you know what to bid?
I love the shoulder work on that. You guys can't see it, but he's doing a little shoulder work. It's great. It's good stuff. That's a stupid question. Whoever asked that, go away. It's a stupid question. I don't want to get into that because that's you're focusing on something that literally doesn't matter because you can just
that's so not true.
Bid something.
That's so not true.
Just
if you don't
bid
know
something.
The industry.
Just bid something. Take whatever you think.
I'm just playing devil's advocate. Just,
okay.
I totally agree with
just
you.
Just double it. And then if it's too high, half it. And if that's too high, half it again. I mean, that's usually how I approach the bidding thing. I don't even want to get into what I should choose.
So, wow. Okay. So, because you just choose something
just choose
and you
something.
Judge how the data comes
yeah.
in.
Yeah. Just get something
out there. You
know the
hardest thing about doing that is the Google Ads ramp up. The ramp up
yeah.
is real.
Yeah.
I've talked about it before. I'm not going to get into it now. But Chris, I've been launching a lot of new accounts because I'm very successful.
Absolutely.
Do you know how big a deal the ramp up is and how much that screws up your thinking and your ability to judge the data and your bidding amounts early on? It's a big deal, dude. Like it really messes you up if you're trying to do manual bids and you don't know about it. And I wish they just had a box that said like, oh, Google, just please trust me. I will advertise on your platform for years and years. This will become a very old, long-time account right. that always pays you money. I want to advertise. Just please give me that quality score history right now, and let's not deal with this ramp-up thing. So that's what makes it kind of
let's put that as difficult. As a topic for Patreon. I feel like that could be something that we could talk a little bit about.
No,
there's a whole other spin that I'd like to bring up. So I get to choose topics too, okay. Jason. I get to, I'm half the show, dang it.
Oh, I didn't know you wanted yeah. to.
I get to choose
any,
too.
In any okay. way. So I didn't know if you wanted to or not.
Oh, okay. he's throwing stones. Okay.
All right. So Chris, you're started out manual. I'll put it this way. I always start out manual as well. Now, if I am the manual guy.
Absolutely.
If there was an area I was gonna go with automated bids on more, ironically, it would probably be starting out with them just to not deal with that ramp up. Thinking and thinking about what bids and just say, you know what? I'm not even going to look at your bids or your results for the next 2 weeks. You have a daily budget. We are trying to build something here together for years and years. I'm not even going to look at it for 2 weeks. We're going to put it on max clicks and we'll just see what the cost per click comes in on over 2 weeks. And then we'll take it manual from there. Now that I'm thinking about it, I might make that standard because I'm so sick of dealing with the ramp up and judging things. So
yeah, that's true.
If I was going to go more automated, I may start off with maximize clicks. I can see that line of thinking if you don't know where to start. But if you're doing your 734th moving company campaign, you probably know where to start the bids. So Chris, yeah. I also start off manual, but now let's talk about managing accounts 3 months in, yeah. a year in, 3 years in. What percent of your accounts are on manual versus automated? I guess that gets to the core of it.
Yeah. So I would say 80% of them stay manual for a significant amount of time, if not forever. I would say 70 to 80% always stay manual. I'll let you discuss where you stand, but I think what I'd like to do at some point is explain why that 20 to 30% change. But what about you? Is it truly still? I mean, are you still like 95%?
Okay. Here's my thing. You peasants, you people see one. And by the way, when I say you people, I'm just talking about Chris. So when I say peasants, I'm just talking about Chris.
Right. Let's go.
When I say filthy animals, I'm just talking about Chris. You only see this side of the wall, Chris. Uh-huh. Like this view. There's you know, and you don't know what I'm looking at. Right. You don't know where I'm at. What I see is over the screen.
Beautiful.
And
yeah,
the bounties and riches that I've accumulated. And let me just
put another it blank way. Wall, isn't it?
Yeah, sure it is. Sure it is.
Okay. I know
sure
it is.
Sure it is, Chris. Mm-hmm. Sure it is. No, you don't know what it is. Once my manual bid stops bringing in that, then I'll stop doing manual bids. But as long as it keeps working for me and making me more money than people can dream of, the reason I make that money is because I help people grow their businesses.
Right.
Chris, I have people begging to work with me.
Yeah. And
I have angry. People that I fire, and then they come crawling back and say, no, please, I've tried someone else. They suck. Let me work with you. I'm gonna look for something and see if I can read it.
I've seen the anger when people when you don't work with people. I've seen that you know people lash back when they're like, "How dare you not accept me?" But
so someone got fired. I fired them. They were unreasonable. They didn't want to get good results, so they were going crazy. Fired them. They come back. I told them our updated pricing because you leave and you come back.
It's more.
Things change every week. So they accepted that. And then, hey, saw you paid the invoice. Thanks. Here's the next step. Here's the email. Thank you. We'll only communicate only if I need changes. Sorry for the inconvenience.
Oh, man.
So the reason I'm in this situation is because I do a great job for people, Chris. They don't just give me money. You know what I mean? Like, why would anyone just give me money? They don't. I have to help them make money. I have to add value. How do I do that? I do that through manual bids. You don't want to hear it. People don't want to hear it. They want to talk about automated bids. Fine. Maybe for your brain sizes, it is a better option. I was thinking about that last night. I was like, why do so many people like automated bids? And why don't they get the same results I get from manual bids? And then I thought about it last night in the shower. I was like, oh, it must be brain size. So for this brain size, I figured out how to make manual bids work and work really well. So I don't want to say 100%. Man, is that the longest answer to a straightforward question ever given in the history of humanity?
Long.
Should I be a senator because I can bring back the filibuster?
Okay, so.
Man, that was nice. So, Chris, I don't want to say I'm very proud of that one.
You are. You shouldn't be.
I don't want to say. I don't want to say 100% manual bids because there is one or two accounts where we've mix in automated because what we're about to talk about, it comes up sometimes. I'm going to say 99%.
Oh, gosh, finally, like a number. There it is. There's the number. Good Lord.
That was the payoff of why we didn't do 100%.
Okay.
And why I needed to tell you all that is because, no, it's not 100, it's 99%. Okay. So I just want to make it clear why there's that difference.
So let me explain. By the way, I think we should skip the part about like the different parts of bidding strategies. I think what we need to get into next here in a second is about our conflict and why we don't think it works. Addressing the article that we read and the points that they bring up.
We'll talk about that. But I do want to give people an updated view of the options because, Chris, they sound so pretty. These options, they sound so nice. So we'll just quickly go through.
Let me give a reason about.
But yeah, why do you use automated?
That 20-30%
in the 20%
eventually. Okay, let me qualify that. 20-30% after a significant amount of time. Okay, after a significant amount of time, 20-30%. And I'm going to give you a specific formula.
20% of the time you suck and fail and you don't know what to do, so you try automated. Is that what you're about to say?
Yes.
Does your manual bids don't work?
That's it.
Is that what you're about to say?
Because I represent the humble side of paid search podcast. So
it's not what I heard last week, so I just have to put you in your place because I listened back to last week, and that was filthy the way you opened that episode. Oh, I'm so great, blah, blah, blah. No one wants to hear that, Chris, from a host on a podcast.
You talking about the Patreon, when I started the Patreon?
No, I'm talking about the main show. Oh. You were like, I'm great. I'm the best.
Okay. I don't even remember that.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. 20-30%. Yeah, because you don't listen. 20-30%.
So when an account has gone a significant amount of time, I'm not going to define what that is, but in your gut, it's been going for a while. You know, I'm not talking about weeks. I'll leave it at that. You know, it might be months. It could be years. Once it's reached a point, when you can't find a lot of optimization areas to tweak another cent out of the cost per acquisition, or you know, like another way to find, try and get something out of it, where it starts to kind of bounce. You know, sure, you might find some things and you can improve it beyond, you know, what you did last week, but then 2 weeks from now it goes back up, and then it goes back down, it goes back up, because you can't get any continuing success. When I reach that point, I will do a very specific thing. I will create a draft and then an experiment. I will create a draft of that campaign. I will change it to typically maximize clicks. Sometimes I'll do maximize conversions. I very rarely like CPA bidding. I do not like CPA bidding, in fact, at all. Max conversions, max clicks, depending on the client. If they don't have any conversion tracking, obviously it's then going to be max clicks. I will definitely set a max CPC limit in that draft, and then I will set up an experiment. I will split it 50-50 using that draft and run that draft for a period of time. I did this just this week. It's been running for like a week with a client that had very good quality of traffic. They had conversions. They had good quality of traffic. And I didn't really know where to take it from here. I thought, you know what? I think it's a good time to try this. And I set them up, even though they had conversions, I set them up with maximized clicks. And I put a max CPC in place. I did an experiment. Jason, it only took like a week. And I immediately applied that. I dropped the CPCs by like the CPC cost. I dropped it by 20%, something like that. And the position stayed just about the same. The absolute top was just about the same percentage. And the conversion percentage, the click-through rate and the conversion rate both improved. So across the board, I got better numbers. This does not happen every time. I do the experiment and draft, and sometimes it fails. I immediately cancel it. I go back to my old one. Nothing's harmed, except I lost half my budget during that experiment time to a failed campaign. But that's it. I use the experiment, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, that way I can walk out clean if it was a bad experience. That's my process. That's the 20 to 30% that I try.
I have a very risky metaphor.
Oh, boy.
And I'm going to say it. It's not a perfect metaphor, but I want you to experience the fear of knowing something's out there that could come back to bite you. So let's say you're a playboy. Let's say it's the 1960s. You're a spy or something. You go all around the world, South America, Europe, Asia, North America, Australia, Africa, all over. And you're a playboy. You're just making babies, making kids. And in the moment, it feels good. But then, let's say you made 100 human beings and didn't father them. Well, you never know when you get to the 1990s and one of them's 30 years old and they're angry at you and you're walking down the street and they come up to you and kill you for revenge.
What?
That, do you not see my point?
No, not
that
yet.
That is what you just did to your campaigns.
Jason, you're right. It was a flawed metaphor.
Thank you for the initial feedback. I love when I get laughs right
where it was very fulfilling. a flawed metaphor, because I do father them. I make the babies and I father them. I coddle them through their entire life.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Because you give up on the bidding. So what happens is you have a little fun in a hotel room down in South America and you get good results. Oh, my click-through rate went up. Oh, my conversion rate went up. My cost per click's down. I'm getting more traffic, more conversions. I'm going to stick with automated bids. So then you turn your campaign into automated bids. And then here's my problem with automated bidding, the lack of control. What happens from there? What if you go 3 months down the road and things all of a sudden stop working? You don't have any control over the situation to get it back under control. And that's why it sucks at the end of the day, in my opinion.
Okay, so let's address the.
Well, I mean, how do you even get across that hurdle? Like, that does happen. Every time I've tried automated bids, like honestly, every time that it's worked well, it gets to a point where it stops.
Well, then I can go back.
And then what do you do? Do you just sit there?
I can for do another 60 days experiment.
While it figures itself out, or do you?
I can do another experiment and go back. I set up another experiment and I test.
But why? But why not do nice, steady, over time manual where you're under control?
Well, because I already did that. I test it with an experiment, and if I immediately get better results, it's worth it to try it. And then at some point I can go back. I don't feel that it's a, once you're tainted with the stench of automated, that you can never go back. You can always go back.
Yeah, but I've had accounts with 20,000 keywords, so.
Right, well.
How are you going to fix those bids?
That's true. That's true. I am working with much smaller, focused, incredibly successful business campaigns.
I work with small campaigns too. Okay. And I can see how they're easy.
But they're not 20,000 keywords.
With your manual bids. Right, they're not at all.
Right.
So it's easier to flip back, but I still don't like having to flip back.
So we should qualify what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is certainly not massive, mega-scale campaigns. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about campaigns.
In that case, Chris, I think you just take your experiment, you just turn it into a new campaign, and you pause the old one.
But here's
the problem with that. This is why I hate doing that. What if you do automate for the next year and you build up all those negative keywords, all those keywords, all those ad copy things, and you don't have all that year's worth of work in the old campaign that was manual? So yeah, that's kind of non-doable.
Yeah, experiments are the way to go. That's why I still stick with experiments. They're the best. They're the most.
But what do you do after the experiment? Do you create a new campaign from that experiment, or do you put those changes on the old campaign? That's what I'm saying. If you put them on the old campaign, you lose the manual bid.
Yes,
that's the downside.
That's true.
So then, but the downside of creating a new campaign out of it is that all the work you put into the new campaign going forward isn't applied to the old campaign.
Right. That's true.
So,
but I'm okay with that.
That's a downside.
I'm okay with starting with a completely fresh start, a new start on campaign bids. If I go from automated to manual, I'm okay wiping the entire slate clean, starting with ad group level bids and working my way up again. Going back to it.
And you know, to see both sides, you can just look at what your average cost per click was on each ad group.
Yeah. When you already have something to work with,
automated to manual, and you can go from there. So
let's address the close variance, because the point is the article was calling out and saying that because of close variance, that manual is no longer an option. I want to tackle that topic specifically, and before I do that, I want to remind you guys, if you haven't done it yet, I'm going to say every smartphone out there is a multitask now. You can do multiple things, so multitask. Open up a new tab, go to opteo.com/psp2. Sign up for a free trial for an eight-week free trial to try the tool for free. This tool helps you. You like doing automated, you like setting up experiments, you like doing manual bidding, you like changing ad copy because you don't want to be fired by your client or by your boss. This tool is where it's at. That is what this tool accomplishes. It saves you time because when you open up the Google Ads interface, your biggest fear is you're looking at a giant screen with a whole bunch of campaigns. You don't even know where to start. You just keep doing the same thing over and over again. You keep checking the same thing. I know you guys do that. You check the same ads. You go get a little check, you know, checklist, blah, blah, blah. It gets stale. This tool will help keep your marriage in Google Ads fresh. Brings the excitement back, right? Bring the excitement back to your PPC with Opteo. Man, if they don't make that as a opteo.com/psp2, 8-week free trial, they should make that I think they should change their slogan. Bring the excitement back to your PPC. That's sexy. Okay.
So Chris, close variants. How do they affect? I don't think they don't affect my manual bidding because I'm doing ad group bidding basically anyway. So I kind of look at keywords as variants of each other. So if Google's going to throw in more close variants, it doesn't affect me because I'm bidding at the ad group level anyway.
Okay. So I agree. I mean, my stance, to say it out front, I agree. Close variants does not break the value of manual bidding. And here's the argument that the article makes. The article makes the argument that because Google's now making a decision on individual action, and we, the Google Ads Manager, can no longer make individual action decisions. We cannot see that they've done three other searches and this is their fourth search and that they are very interested in this. And we can't see that even though they searched this one thing, this keyword is still very relevant for them. And they ended up clicking the ad and it's, you know, it ended up converting. We can't see the reasoning behind that. So they say that because of the individual action level, and we can't bid on that, that what we should do, and here's the flaw, here's the reason that I think this is a flaw, what we should do is hand over all of the bidding to Google Ads to allow them to make more decisions because they have black box data. And I don't think that's the case. I still think that Google has its role. Google is good at doing Google, but I'm good at doing human types of things.
I turned you into the automated bids guy, and all you said was 20%. I turned you into like my enemy.
I know, it's true.
But now that I'm listening to you, I'm like, no, wait, Chris is saying he likes manual
yes,
bids.
Yes, I still like 80%, Jason. If I made, you know, if I said like 80% of the time I am this, you'd say, well, he's pretty much always that. So, I mean, that.
If I gave you a sandwich that was 80% hamburger and 20% dog poop, would it be a hamburger or would it be a dog poop? What's the old saying?
That's a bad example.
That's why I'm 100% manual bitch. Hey, it's not as bad as having kids in the 1960s and they come back to shoot you and that has something to do with that. It's not as bad as that metaphor.
But that's it. That's the idea that the article states is that because there's so much variance and there's so much unknown that we should then hand over the keys to the entire engine because they can do it better because they know more than us. And I don't agree with that.
That is a good metaphor. That is a good metaphor. I don't agree with it. So because the transmission is auto instead of manual, shifting gears and all that, or whatever. I'm not a car guy. Now let them have the steering wheel. Yeah. No, we're in the steering wheel and we're not a manual.
I like that even better. Yeah. I know where I'm going. No, you can't have the wheel too, but you can have the automatic.
The metaphors make me so hot.
Oh, that is hot.
If I worked in like an English literature department at an academic setting in a university, I could just see starting a beautiful romance where me and my colleague, we just one up each other with metaphors in the English language.
I get excited about your Google Ads metaphors because you pop them out sometimes and I'm just like, whew.
Chris, we were just on a call with a potential sponsor before the show. I think I was popping out some podcast metaphors right there. I was getting in podcast mode and they want to have a call right before the podcast. They're going to get
they're going to get Jason has a shirt on and he's taking a shower and everything. So it's
Chris, just to recap the strategies these days, when it comes 2020, when it comes to manual, there's like manual. Okay. Here's the options with manual.
No, you don't get manual. Don't through them. Are we going to go through them? All of them?
Chris, you suck at being a podcast partner these days. I got to be honest. If we want it on the show, we can leave it on the show. You're absolutely unbearable as a podcast partner. So promise people that we're going to talk about the options. No, we're not because Chris doesn't want to. So he didn't want to. So there you go, people. A little Patreon on the main show. Are you serious, Chris? Are you absolutely serious?
Tell you what, you can go through them. I'm gonna just listen.
So everyone that wants you want to level up the passive aggressiveness right now, I'll level you up. Anybody that wants to know the automated and manual bid strategies and how I'm using them in 2020, just search Rothman PPC podcast. Because there is another podcast about Google Ads these days where we do go deep on things that actually affect your ability to manage and make a bunch of money from your clients. Rothman PPC podcast. Look for it. Subscribe. I'll see you there. And Chris and I will continue this fun conversation on Patreon. See you there. Sign up for that.